Hi, everybody. My name's Carol, and I'm an alcoholic. And I just moved to La Mesa a month ago, but technically, Santee is in the house. I'm actually, I got sober in Santee in, hi, Karen, in July of 2005. And my sponsor's name is Joan, and her sponsor's name is Diane. And I think Diane has a sponsor, yeah? I don't know her name, but my home group is the Wednesday night Women's Attitude of Gratitude meeting in Santee. Yeah. And and I'm going to set a stopwatch here so that I don't go over time. Oh, good. Okay, good. Okay, I'm trying to avoid the cowbell. So what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like today is what I'm going to be talking about for 10 minutes. And I hope Laura and John, I can say something that inspires you or, you know, gives you a message about what AA has done for me and what it's done for everybody in this room, people that don't have to drink one day at a time. And congratulations to Chuck and Allison for 90 days. That's amazing. That's a hard number to reach. Hi, Jerry. And, okay, so what I was like was I was full of fear. I was self-centered, self-seeking, and sometimes I'm still that way. What happened is it got worse faster than I could lower my standards. And what I'm like today is self-aware, sober, and I have gifts that I didn't have prior to coming to the rooms of AA. Alcoholics Anonymous has given me my life back, and then some. I've gotten gifts that I could only imagine. Let's see. Okay, well, I guess I should qualify myself by saying that I drank a lot. And when I drank, I did things that I didn't remember doing. I was a blackout drinker, and I think that came in handy for a really long time. I think it helped me survive, really. I was just afraid of everything, and you know, trying to imagine doing anything without alcohol in my body after a time, you know, it was unimaginable. It was my crutch, I started, you know, I had my first drink at the age of maybe 5 or 6, and I knew that I liked the way I felt. It was a sip off of my dad's, like, scotch and soda, and at 5 or 6, like, little kids don't drink that stuff and then want more. It made my legs feel funny, and I just liked it. I just remember going back for more of it. And fast forward to, excuse me, to high school, you know, it was a social elixir. I used it to make myself feel like all of the things that I knew I wasn't, pretty and smart and funny and acceptable, you know. Like I was even able to go to a party, much less, like, talk to boys. I didn't really, you know, I didn't go overboard in high school because my stepdad happened to be the DARE police officer that would come into your school. And, yeah, so cool. You know, DARE to keep kids off drugs. So, you know, I didn't really go full force until I moved out of my parents' house. And thank you so much. My mouth is dry, and I have to pee. So I'm not sure if I should have this. Okay, I'm taking a chance. So, I pretty much, you know, once I graduated from high school and moved out of my parents' house, game was on. I worked in microbreweries. I worked anywhere where I could have alcohol readily available to me. I worked in the restaurant business for 8 years. I pretty much was drunk every time I waited at a table. I would put, you know, drinks on customers' checks, like ring one up for them, one for me, one for you, one for me. And, you know, that's how I functioned for a really long time until I met the man that would soon be my husband and enabler for the next 10 years. He worked, you know, he made a lot of money, he took good care of me, and he made my life look really pretty on the outside. even though I was dying on the inside. It wasn't apparent that I was an alcoholic because he cleaned up all of my messes. I owned a 5-bedroom house in San Francisco. I threw lots of parties. I was, you know, constantly taking courses and going to massage school. And just basically people would say, what do you do for a living? And I would say, I have fun for a living. You know, and it was true. I did. I had fun for a really long time with this person financing my very irresponsible life. And, I just didn't even know how bad it was until it got worse. And, you know, what happened for me, my bottom looked like my divorce, the end of my marriage. Let me rewind a tiny bit. My first introduction to AA was a friend of mine, a very dear friend, took me to. She said, "I have a surprise for you tomorrow. We're gonna go somewhere at noon." And I said, "Oh, well, great! What should I wear? Where are we going?" And she said, "Doesn't really matter. Just be ready at noon." And she took me to a women's meeting in a little log cabin in Mill Valley, California. And I was. I don't know. There's a lot of words to describe how I was. I was shocked. I was insulted. I was relieved. I was angry. I was, you know, I was really surprised at the joy and the light that was in the room. And I thought, these people are alcoholics, and they're all saying, like, you know, going around the room, I've said this before at my home group, so forgive me if you've heard this already, but like, oh, hi, I'm Alice, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi, I'm Betty, and I'm an alcoholic. I mean, they sounded like cheerleaders. And I was just like, are you kidding me? Like, what are you happy at? Why are you happy about being an alcoholic? It's not funny. Why are you laughing, you assholes? I just didn't get it. I just did not get the joke. And, now I get it. Like, I come into these rooms, and I can authentically... have fun. You know, these are all the party people, only they're just not drinking. Like, all the really fun-ass, serious party people, the ones that really want to have fun, they're all here. And they don't have to drink one day at a time. It's amazing. There's so much life after recovery. My world has opened up a lot, and it's continuing to do that. And, you know, I want to say, like, I am an imperfect human being. I've worked these steps. I've worked them, you know, with my sponsor, and I've worked them with women that have come in after me. And the gifts are just countless. And I have a bunch more character defects to work on. You know, I still lie. I still get road rage. I still have a lot of fear. But I don't have to drink over any of that stuff today. That's the miracle that this program offers. It's like, we don't have to drink no matter what. Laura, you don't have to drink again if you don't want to. You know, this is like, just stay here and do what's suggested. You know, what my sponsor told me is, like, get a commitment. Stay, you know, as Larry Dixon said, like, get in the middle of the herd. That way you won't get picked off. Just do what's suggested. Get a big book. Read it. Get a sponsor. Talk to people, come early, stay late, go out for coffee afterwards, even if you've already had a bunch of bad coffee while you were here. Just do what's suggested, and you have a chance at sobriety and a life that you didn't imagine. I've done a lot of things in my recovery that one of the things I did is, like, about a month ago, I guess, almost a month ago, I finally finished my BA. Like, I started it 24 years ago, and I finished it. And but, I mean, you know, here's the deal. Like, I couldn't have done that had it not been for all of you. The people in these rooms have, like, helped me believe that I deserve things like that. Okay, well, I deserve other stuff. Like, what was it, Joan, that she says? I'm glad I have a God of mercy and not a God of justice. You know, if I got what I deserved, I, you know, probably wouldn't have been a BA. But you know what? I think we're all God's perfect children, and we deserve to be happy, joyous, and free. And this program offers that. If you do what's suggested, you can't, you know, do it half-assed. You can't, like, maybe go to a meeting. It's like, I come to meetings even when I don't want to. I say yes to AA commitments whenever I can, even though I'm scared to death. You know, I'm not comfortable up here, but I can't give back enough. You know, AA, I will never be able to repay what I've been given. So, so let's see. Yeah, I don't know. It works. What else can I say? This program works, and I have the dearest friends that I've ever had in my life. You know, people that are just there for me. And there's so many people here, you know, from my home groups. And it's like, thanks, guys. Like, I'm so glad you're here to support me. I didn't have people showing up for me in my former life unless there was something that they felt like they could get from me. You know, like, unless I was going to, like, have an acid party at my house. And they're, woo! I don't have to do that stuff today. And I don't know. I just turned 5, and I was told that, like, at 5 years you get your marbles back, but you're not allowed to play with them until you're 10. So that's kind of where I'm at. I was talking, I'll make this really quick, I'll wrap this up. When I was talking to John on the phone, asking, like, is there anything I need to know? And after he took my social security number and my credit card, right? That's what you guys do at this meeting? Is that standard procedure? Okay. After that, he said, yeah, now starts the spiritual part of your journey. And I thought, you know what? Yes, and the whole thing is spiritual. Like, when you step through these doors, this is a spiritual program. You can't do it without some kind of higher power. So if you don't have one, you know, figure out what works for you. And that's one of the blessings of this program. It's God as we understood him. This isn't like a religious cult. It's a spiritual program, and it works. So I guess I'm done. Thank you, guys.